I could walk through when you don't get the answers. A very good evening, Namibia, and a warm welcome to Eagle FM, and a warm welcome to Life Lessons, your number one talk radio station, on your number one talk radio station, right here. I'm your host, Ndafa, happy as usual, and I'm here to keep you company. And of course, you know, this time around, I'm sure many of you now were wondering, is Happy around? Because we are used to the voice of Toby Mac. Yeah. I decided to play something different. You're also different. Yeah. Different things, different vibes. We can't stick to the same things all the time. But nonetheless, we're here to keep you company from now up until 2100 hours. So do tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune into Eagle FM right now. Life Lessons. We are life. Nonetheless, this is what we do right here on Eagle FM on Life Lessons. We bring you topics that are meant to bring out the best in you, right? That's why Life Lessons. So the aim is to take a lesson from somebody's life, or with our own personal lives, the guest's life, and actually speak about it and draw some positivity from it, so that wherever you need to apply it, you may do just that. Now I'm joined in studio by my guest, that is Kaurumbua Kuyo, and we're going to be talking about turning lemons into lemonade. A very good evening and welcome, Kiki.
Yeah, good evening, Happy. Thank you for having me.
Sure, it's a pleasure to have you indeed. Now, of course, it is a Saturday evening. What have you been up to, and how has your Saturday been going so far?
So far, my Saturday was actually quite relaxed. These days, it's I make sure the weekend has to be for me, because the week can be so hectic. Yeah, especially with the hustle culture, you know, what's going on in the world, stress. So Saturdays, I try to take it easy. So I went for a swim with a friend. So yeah, and then I'm here.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think you're the first person that I'm hearing really do that.
I know, we need to.
Most people would be up and about, and especially for a man, they'll be like, no, I did this and I did that and that and that. No, Saturdays, I believe they are also time to be relaxed. Mm. I deliberately also ensure that my Saturdays, before I even come to the show, are meant for me and my kids, literally meant for me and my family. So much that if I have to do something, it has to be really extraordinary for me to squeeze it in there. And I think that's the problem. We tend to be so occupied with busyness, you know, occupied with work, occupied with certain things, that we don't take time to actually rest.
Yeah, no, certainly. I agree with you. That's, you know, time in this red race, this fast world, paced world, you know, you need that quiet time. And I think Saturdays are the best days for that. Mm. Stay at home, relax.
Yeah.
It's nothing outside there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, KK, of course, today we're talking about turning lemons into lemonade. Let's start off with where you grew up. Who is KK? Somebody's listening and they're like, okay, who is he? Where did he grow up? How was his upbringing, school-wise as well? Mm. Siblings-wise, are you in the middle, the firstborn, the lastborn? Which one? Give us an idea.
Okay. Now, it's a very interesting question. Mm-hmm. No, KK is it's a mixture of many things. I like to say KK is a character, a hero in his own movie.
Oh, nice.
Why I say so is that my whole life has been characterized of just interesting, I don't know if you say it's challenges, but at the time they seem to have been challenges, but it's also opportunities that disguise themselves as challenges. So KK is a down-to-earth guy. I believe in, you know, humor. Mm-hmm. I believe in, you know, just uplifting community development sort of stuff. So I grew up in Karatura Marula. My mom, she studied in Zimbabwe, did law. So later on, you'd understand which footsteps I follow.
Okay.
So when she had to go there, I grew up with my grandmother. I was left at the village. So I'm a hybrid of the village and also town. So that is cakey for you.
I think, in a nutshell.
Yeah. Yeah. So, school wise, quickly, I started my school at Van Rain, and then I went to Windhoek High School. Mm-hmm. So I was just there, not private school, but also just, you know, just in the middle of the soil.
Yeah.
And then ended up at UNAM. That's where I took it.
Okay. Nice. So you're just a mixture of something, like a hybrid.
100%.
Yeah. Interesting. Which I think is a very good thing, because then you have a background knowledge of a city life, and you also have a background knowledge of village life, which was actually my thing as well. Yeah. But how do you think this contributed to your life overall? What balance do you think it has brought to your life now as an adult looking back?
Oh, a lot. Because, my life right now, I think the successes of it comes from my ability to network. Mm-hmm. Like I've, even if I should say it myself, I think I'm now beyond the average person at this point, because mm-hmm. it comes from the ability to coexist with different people from different ethnic groups. Mm-hmm. So with a village, you know, you come with your village set up, you have your uncles. Mm-hmm. So you come from those dynamics, you know, you come with the aerodynamics, you know, you have to go work, sell the car to go pay for your university fees, school fees. So you come from that on holiday. So you are aware and you have that resilience of it. Then you're in the city also, but you grew up in the township, Marula. So you understand also the struggles of it, the hustle, of that sort of thing. But at the same time, you have the opportunity to go to decent schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thank you to the parents who really tried to do the utmost best, at least to invest in our education in that regard. So then you'd have a mixture of all those experiences.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Now we have a scheduled commercial break. Let's just pause for that and we'll be back. We're just getting started. Please stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintuk beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun Patkos and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley, hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ripura nenge lo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite ofoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. This is Life Lessons. If you're just tuning in now, please welcome. We're joined in studio by KK and we're talking about turning lemons into lemonade. Now, KK, let's start off where, your passion for being a lawyer, actually started. I know you mentioned about your mom being a lawyer, but what is it that she was doing that probably triggered, you also desiring to be in the field of law?
Okay. Being the first generation post-independence, mm-hmm. Just post-independence, you know, the bond freeze. But growing up in also those Marula dynamics, so you sort of grow up with an admiration for causes such as justice, you know, our historical heroes, and that sort of thing. So growing up, I was also sort of a reader. It's my escape place. And also, I would write here and there, scribble notes and so on. Nothing organized, really. In that process, I think my hunger, reading on Mandela's and the Mahatma Gandhi's, you have this quest for justice, and then you would learn that lawyers are actually at the forefront of social justice. You know, historically, the Abraham Lincolns, you look even Obama's, the Mandela's. So with that sort of thing, at my quest for justice, always having this sense of fighting for the underdog, you know, when you grew up also with those, from Katutura and transitioning, you have that sort of inclination. So I think it came from them. That's where the real passion and quest for it came from, really. Mm. Desire, yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Mm. And the fact that your mom was a lawyer herself just kind of like pushed it even the more to say, you know what, I think I want to... How many lawyers from your family do you have, like sibling-wise?
Actually, funny enough, I'm the only one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my two other brothers, they are more in farming, younger, but you know, their business and so
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I followed my mother, like trying to keep that legacy.
Mm.
Yeah, it seems.
Interesting. Now you speak about, having had the passion for reading. I've also noticed you have the passion for writing. Have you written a book so far? Not yet.
I attempted, but the thing is, I have this bad habit. Like, if you have noticed, when I write, like, I write long paragraphs. You know, I'm not so concise. So sometimes I write many things, and the information is not so organized. So I think I have information around which equals to many books yeah. that I've written in bits and pieces. So yeah, it's just a matter of consolidating at some point in my life. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but every day I write a book. Like, my life is like a chapter. I live in chapters of a book. So I see myself like this superhero in a movie. So every day I need to conquer it like this or anything. In everything I do, I try to act that way. So I write chapters.
Tell me something. Let me actually try and understand. You often, when and how do you write? How does the inspiration come to you to write? I have a friend who can write you a whole long text. So I need to understand which one is yours. Like, the writing, you know, where does it...
It's actually an interesting question, because for me, it comes so naturally. Sometimes my friends wonder, because we've been in a situation like here, and we'd leave, even when we're chilling, anything. But then I go, maybe 2-3 minutes, I'm just quiet. Or at some point, then they would just go see, I wrote about everything that happened there, who was moving like this, who's like this, you know. So my interest, my observation skills, I think, helps me with the writing. And then, you know, I find humor in things and life lessons in a lot of things. So in any situation, I've trained myself over the years around that. So it has become second nature. It's easy for me to really just write about a situation. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something I've started using now mm-hmm. in my marketing strategies, I call, nice. Yeah, leveraging okay. social media.
Ooh, nice. We'll talk about that, leveraging social media. Interesting. Now, but before we do get the, let's talk about now your journey as you did law, I believe you said at the University of Namibia.
Mm.
How was it? How was being at university and just the whole journey overall? How did you actually find it?
Okay. Now, first of all, how it started, let's start there.
Mm, okay.
It's, you know, I was surprised that I actually passed my grade 12, you know, got above 40 at those times. And I was like,
wow. Are you surprised?
Yeah, I was sort of surprised, really. You didn't expect it, because I was more trying to be the guy who's taking the gap year, rapping.
Okay.
You know, like, okay. you commented that I'm poetic, so it comes from that. So I was more like, nah, the gap year, poetic. Mm-hmm. But then the parents were like, no, you can't get... about 40, and then, you know, you want to take gap years, what should I do now? So actually, it was one of those, I had to decide. But then, yeah, my mother, she was there with a crutch, I remember, at the time of registration. So I had to decide on the spot, what do we do? I said, okay, let's go for law. Although, I wasn't that much in love with the law, really, also at that point. But, uh-huh. yeah, we registered for law. That's when my law career journey started. I got in the university, and I started aligning to, you know, these sharp students, who would then encourage you, because, you know, I was a bit of like this city boys also, not too inspired, but then you get these guys like the Jody Deunemas and whatever come from the Shihambo High, so they are serious with the law. So I'm learning one, two things there around it till I settled in myself. Yeah.
Nice. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was really university for me. Apart from that, I was also very social guy, I believe. Had the opportunity to get the JPK.
What is the JPK?
John Paul Karwahe Trust. bursary. Yeah, so in that, it's something I always describe myself during that interview before I was awarded it. I said I'm a C student when they asked me. They said, but what do you say you're a C student? Because I believe with law, you need to be social to also understand the dynamics fully. So if I were to be an A student, I would be confined to the library. So I mentioned that because it sort of sold who I am till today. So I always believe in holistic approach to problem solving and so on.
And maybe the fact that you are very honest too, which is quite surprising. Yeah. Because you know, we always try to make ourselves look perfect.
Because especially when I said, and I don't even want to be, then they all looked at, what did this guy say? Oh, I took a risk. What did I say here? Yeah, but yeah, I paid off.
Interesting. Okay. Now you finished your degree program at UNAM and then?
Yeah, so I did a bit juris at UNAM and then continued to with an LLB. It was a 5-year program those days.
Okay.
So with that, luckily, I was a student volunteer. I was a student volunteer at one of my final years.
Mm-hmm.
I started the Ministry of Justice.
Yeah.
So we started as researchers, voluntary researchers. Just assisting at the law reform.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were a group of guys. So that transitioned me into a bit of professionalism now. Because we started with projects like family law project, customary laws. Then later I slowly transitioned into becoming a legal officer there, acting and so on. And with that, we started projects such as the constitutional amendments. Later on, we do the electoral act. So I had the opportunity to really start early on being exposed to governance and laws. And So yeah, that was now my kick in into law now, really.
Okay, quite interesting. Having now gotten experience in governance and of course the legal part of governance and all that, what did that maybe trigger in you? Did it maybe trigger something that I would also want to perhaps do something in this particular angle? And considering you were young at the time, what exactly were you going through with thoughts that you were going through your mind?
Okay, well, that the exposure, because it's one of those, you know, you are still not sophisticated. You know, you are still there, because maybe let me share something how I started off the law reform. You know, I was still, you know, the university kid who, you know, still have earrings and so on, baggy jeans. So I ran into, at the time, it was the chairperson who's now Saki Shangala. So I was in and around there, those squad of guys who were first the volunteers there, and me just to align, always being inquisitive about information. So he asked me, so what you knew, what are your plans next year? So and I said, no, anyway, no, anything I can do, what? So he said, no, but why are you wearing earrings? Take off your earrings. Impress the ladies with your intellect. So till today, it's something I carry in everywhere I go, because I'm like, no, if all else fails, let me just pull the intellect out. So it becomes a card, because all else said, if you look at a man like Saki Shangala, he was really one of the greatest in terms of mentoring young professionals. Yeah. In terms of, you know, using your head, intellectual, and, you know, just always getting into academia, in love with it and researching. So it played a role in me really now getting into becoming a professional, you know. So that was now my start to the law reform before the postgraduate. That's where now my other life started.
Interesting. And social-wise, were you even being social, or perhaps you're just focused on, you know what, I think I want to work on myself so I can better impress the ladies with my intellectual capacity. Which one was
interesting,
it?
Interesting. No, the social dynamic of me really had a chokehold on me for long.
Okay.
Because, I'm just really very social and so on. So, that coexisted with my beginning career. And also now you started getting an income. Just right after university, during that time also transitioning. So now you're making money and so on. So the intellect must wait. We must now
topper.
So that went on for some few years. But at the same time, you know, we always know that we need to be serious, you know, and keep things very serious. But then I reached a point where I think it was my 30th birthday.
Okay.
Then Rusa, who was my supervisor and also one of my mentors, law-wise, especially into human rights type of stuff. Mm. She's very good. Mm. So she said, now, KK, we see you in this, you have now, you know, you have become social, you know, you are popular in this and that, but is this where your legacy really ends, you know? What is next? So that's where the questions now, you look down and say, yo, yeah, what is next now? What? So that's when I said, no, can I also do a postgrad? Can I do a master's? Because there were three of my friends who went before me, all those guys like the Jordis, Fessy, and so on. So I said, oh, now it's my turn. So yeah, that's when I said, now let me go for the postgraduate and started that journey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get into that journey, let's pause right here. Take a trip to the marketplace for Vex shortly. Please stay tuned. We'll pause for a musical break, but we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong.
So, what will your friends think if you show up at school with a brand new 10th gen iPad? TopScore Instant is making back to school in 2026 the coolest thing ever, giving away unbelievable prizes. To win one of 8 iPads or a weekly stationery voucher worth $1,000, simply buy a 1kg or 2kg TopScore Instant from any store nationwide and SMS Instant to 24442. Competition ends 31 March 2026. T's and C's apply. TopScore, a proud product of Namib Mills.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the Basic Mental Health First Aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP will rebound you.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak life. Tongue gets twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. You speak hope, you speak love, you speak.
like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like
and we are back. Now, this, of course, is Life Lessons. We're talking about turning lemons into lemonade. Now, let's get right into the center of that conversation, okay? Now, Kiki, of course, let's talk about your postgraduate. Now, how did you decide that which country at that point or which countries were coming to your mind where you would really want to go and do your postgraduate?
Okay. No, nice one. No, I had inclination towards the West at first. You know, we would look through the law reform. There were, you know, projects such as from the Michigan State University, and they had a scholarship, something for criminology and so on. But at the time, also before, yeah, I was dragging my feet because, you know, it was open to me, really, that one. But
okay.
At the time, you don't actually grab the opportunities as you should. But yeah, when night time was right then, it was at the time, you know, I understood that China really is the next global power, economic power, and where it's going and so on. So they put out this scholarship, the MOFCOM scholarship, sponsored by the Chinese government.
Interesting.
Through, yeah, with a bilateral arrangement with Namibia. So they put them out. So these scholarships are quite competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then I took a chance. I noticed there was a program, international law and Chinese law. So I say, whoa, how much more futuristic can one be? My friends went west, like the guys, like I said, Jody, we shared a cubicle. So yeah. He went to go do his thing in Oxford, doctor today, doing great things.
Yeah.
So I said, no, maybe let me go west. Let me go east.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe something different. And it happened. It was quite also starting already from here, going to the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they asked me a question, something about the Attorney General and Minister of Justice. Why do we have that in Namibia? Because now first everyone was panicking. So that question threw me off. I tried to explain the best way I could.
Okay.
You know, like, so, you know, at the table, all these Chinese guys, well, I'm here. So it was, this is where the journey now started.
Yeah,
so after that, I gave him my question. I ran to actually the Attorney General's office when I was done with the interview. I tried to go get the Minister of Justice, also the chairperson of the law reform, Dawsap at the time. So I'm sharing this because those are some of the life lessons that helped me always succeed where you may give up on something. Even an interview didn't go right. I went to go write them an email that time with authority to say, I went to go speak to the people you are speaking of who hold those positions. So yeah, don't play with me. Give me my scholarship. So yeah, that went well. So yeah, later on now, that's where now we went to Wuhan.
Mm.
Yeah, I got the scholarship and now the journey started. So it's a new scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
They are giving you a stipend. Government is also, you know, they have your salary that they are paying.
Mm.
So it's time to really go start over now, you know, start a new life.
Yeah,
start
student life.
Yeah, student life. Mm-hmm. So postgraduate, looking forward for a second chance in university.
Mm-hmm.
This time with a bit of cash at the beginning.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's stop there now.
And this was? This was? Which year?
Pardon? 2019.
Hmm.
Yeah.
2019.
So.
In what do you call the city? Wuhan.
Yeah, in Wuhan.
China.
Wuhan, China.
Now, 2019 was a time where COVID came about. And, of course, China being the epicenter of COVID at the time. How was that for you? I mean, you found yourself in China and this is happening.
Yeah, no, it was quite dramatic because you are already trying to, you barely overcame the culture shock because in any way you travel, especially a place like China coming from here, you have never been there.
Yeah.
So it's a new experience. At the airport, you know, I was first holding my, you call it in the fanny bags or moon bags.
Mm.
Anyways, on my passport in there, I said, yeah, I'm not going to lose this one because sometimes I tend to be a bit disorganized in traveling and stuff.
I hear you.
Yeah. But at the airport, it so happened that when I got there, I misplaced it again, you know. So already from there, you could see the nerves because now you are here, foreign country, you are sweating because it's a different type of climate.
Mm-hmm.
You're not seeing anyone of your color in any close proximity here and so on. So, yeah, that's where now the Wuhan started to say, okay, but that was fine. We arrived, see these big city lights. It's a different city, different world, seeing different people. Mm-hmm. So you go to the university, settled in a dormitory. And maybe a week or two after that, there was a slight earthquake or seismic. Maybe.
Something you noticed.
Yeah. So when it happened, I was like, oh, what am I really doing here? So, but anyways, that's how it started. Then it's the culture shock, obviously, the language barrier.
Yeah.
So like, yo, this is tough. You know, like, so first it's a challenge, really. You see,
Imagine. Okay. And the language barrier, of course, I know that, I think all students that go, study in China, they do get to study Mandarin, right?
Yes. You do get to study Mandarin. There are those where it's compulsory to sort of, it's part of, they study throughout their modules they are studying.
Mm.
But as for postgraduate, it was, because we're international students, it's not compulsory. But it's a module also.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
One of your first modules a semester. But yeah.
So otherwise, classes are happening in English?
In English, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, we would have professors come from even Harvard and so on, you know, because it was not international law modules, you know,
yeah
and those sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the setup like.
And how was university overall, books-wise? How were you doing?
You know, you have these mega universities where people invest hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, just, so when you walk in that library, you know, you just feel like it's like ghosts speaking to you of knowledge, you know. So for me already, so it's a new journey now. Now this is where I'm trying to test myself. Oh, can Keke also, you know, the social guy, can he also go do a master's?
Yeah.
Can I test myself at this level? So now you are trying to now also start representing in the class, you two Namibians maybe in the whole university. So now you have a lot of responsibilities on you because you're also going with a bilateral arrangement. You're representing government, so to speak. So, so you are there. Knowledge base, the knowledge I say with China really comes more from the interaction, the outside, how China, the mindset, the culture, you know, the universities, yes, they have top of the class research institutions and, you know, the environment is so conducive for you to really bring out your full potential because you look at the sports facilities and those sort of stuff. So I realized the university really, it played a role in at least making me sit down and complete those modules.
Interesting. Okay, finally now, getting to the time we COVID-19 hits. And of course, I want to actually believe that it was in China that you now realize this, opposed to people at home here in Namibia.
Mm.
I'm sure you probably were the one telling them something like this, what's actually happening. How did that feel like? I mean, you just got the 2019 and then boom, this happens. How was that?
Oh, well, like at some point I actually thought like, am I just bad luck? Like, you know, like you just got here and then why did this have to happen with the whole world? A place called Wuhan, this is where this virus comes. So yeah, how it started, we went actually for the holidays after Christmas there. Me and a friend of mine, a Russian guy, I met there as well.
Okay.
So we went to a city called Xi'an. And, you know, it was around New Year's or something. So, but there's these rumors, there's a pneumonia in Wuhan.
Mm.
So what's going, but you know, it's around New Year's, Christmas. So people are not paying too much attention also, but then it's just the rumor being said. So for the first time, this friend of mine, you know, we went to Xi'an, we toured a bit and then we have to come back now. Coming back there, my friend decided, no, he's going to Kazakhstan.
Okay.
He has been long in China, going there, but just briefly for a few months and then come back. Or let's just say when we got to Wuhan, my friend departed to Kazakhstan. And 5, 6, 7 years later, lockdown, he can't come back. So a lot of that happened. And me now, I stayed inside. I went in Wuhan, mm-hmm. back home.
I mean back five, to Wuhan. 6, 7 days?
No, like they stayed like 5 years. I'm just saying, like when he left for Kazakhstan, he couldn't come back because of the global pandemic. Oh. Later it had stretched. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So around that time when we got to Wuhan, that's where now we were learning of a pneumonia spreading around, a virus, something at the fish market. So it's, you know, there's this chaos. So it starts there. It started there. Put your masks on. And then next thing you know, announcements are being made. The airport is being quarantined. Nothing in, nothing out. Shops are closing at 5 o'clock and so on. So it was crazy. So now we had to find ways to go get food in the market. So you have to walk and put in your bag. Because later on, the taxi drivers also don't want to pick up anybody. Mm. So, yeah, so that's when really the uphill battles started, the roller coaster.
Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it was also at that point or that particular season in your life that you decided, you know what? I want to quote that quote that you mentioned the other day. There are two sets of people, one who allow the crisis to happen to them and then who makes the most of the crisis. You know it better.
You pay attention. No, I just said basically, you know, there are two types of people in any crisis. Okay. There are those who lets the crisis defeat them, let them happen to them, like, why me? And then there are those who find opportunity in any crisis.
Mm.
To try to say, how do I then, it's happening, how do I emerge stronger? So this is now when we talk of faith, you know, because faith, where there's faith, you know, there's hope.
Mm.
So when the crisis started, of course, I was, you know, internationally, I'm also a bit invested in, and I tried to understand the world in terms of economics, investments, and, you know, reading upon those things. So you try to predict things and research. As a researcher, those things come back now. So what happens in a crisis? So it's coming. So what do we do? So you try to go in history. How do people react when the Spanish flu was there? You know, in the world wars. Who are the people who come out victorious? Who are the people who crumble? So you try to just, you know, empower yourself with some knowledge, mm-hmm. research a bit,
mm-hmm.
and try to understand that either way, you know, you rather don't let it happen to you. Like, you survive. Yeah. So
yeah.
I think that was mm-hmm. my experience here around it.
Okay. And then I think it's at that moment that you also decided to start shipping masks to Namibia.
Yeah.
Let's get into that entrepreneurship side
yeah.
of you.
No, that's the entrepreneurship side. Because even when we're on campus there, they will get others. I say, guys, but listen, these masks we can sell because the world is America already saying they are shipping masks. Now, why don't we ship to Africa? So I'm always talking those sort of things. Just simple seeing opportunity, you know, like, so because you're students, they, what, you know, it's always just long things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's where I said I made my first blind investment there because, you know, you pay in WeChat. I'm not also so familiar with the process.
Mm-hmm.
So I just closed my eyes and I think it was 10 RMB I gave. It's almost over 20,000 at the time here in our money. Just blind mask ship because they don't even have profile pictures on their WeChat. So you don't know who you're dealing with. You're just going by chance.
Yeah.
So people here, KK, you got botched again. How do you go to China and still want to go try things? But anyways, that was the beginning of learning how to then transact with their things and so on. So yeah.
Did it work?
I had my first shipment out here,
yeah.
But then later on also things got blocked here and there. So everything was just always a problem, but it worked at mm-hmm. some point.
Mm-hmm.
So
the
yeah,
mask
that's
got here, right?
And with the mask, you were saying I was actually the ones informing people back home here. Yeah, no, I had a group of my core people who was now my grandmother, the one I said raised me,
mm-hmm.
and my uncles and whatever. So they would have the video calls, mm-hmm. and then I'm informing them how I am because now they're hearing on TV, it's mm-hmm. in my city and so on. So you know the cuckoos, they are there trying to understand things. So what's funny, the people who were checking up on me, this later on, they were affected by the COVID, dying and so on. So this is where it got really, really crazy now in terms of the COVID to say, yo, because now we are now there, the virus has changed, it has jumped this side to Africa and the rest of the world. Now we are stuck in there, we can't come back home. And actually, even when we could come, you can't choose to come back home without having finished your degrees or your papers, because we are African, you know, this once in a life opportunity.
Yeah.
And someone, my friends would lose his dad this day. My other friend, so we were like that. I lose my grandmother. I lose my uncle. Like, it was crazy during the time when we are getting the news being abroad. So, but then, that's where now things started changing to say, yo, world is crazy. Like, yeah, things are happening. So, it affected me more when he came back home than when I was there, I would say.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you really were resilient, hey? You and your classmates as well. Or let me say, your university mates.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're seeing every now and then, you are hearing that somebody passed on, this one's dad passed on, this one's grandmother. It's at that point, I think you will also want to throw in the towel and say, oh my goodness, I'm not even going to study. I'm just going to wait for lockdown to be over so I can go home. Yeah. But instead, how did you actually manage, you alongside with you, with your colleagues, how do you actually manage to read your books and stay focused still at getting your degree, passing those modules?
Because, you know, when you are there, you really get to also understand the real Africa, because you come together as multinationals, especially, you know, because you're inclined to be closer together with Africans as well.
Yeah.
So you hear people really who speak of education in a very serious way and opportunities and so on. So, for example, one of my friends whose father also passed on, he was doing his PhD there. So he said, Keke, if I go back home now, the people won't care whether my dad passed on, what. They'll say, you're stupid. You went to China, you come home, no PhD. So you know, when you're around those guys, you're like, you must also step in that business. So, like, be strong. Get on board. Yes, it's no playing. So I was here. And it helped to mix with different types of people, that sort of resilience I had, you know, like West African friends and so on. So when you tap into their mindset, I'm like, you see, you know, you're a cry baby. Why you cry? I'm like, bro, like, don't you guys cry when you lose people? But then it's guys who are like in Liberia, they have been, you know, used to civil wars and whatever. So when you associate at international, when you develop such a mindset, you tap into that. That's what I always encourage people, you know, make friends, learn how other people view things and see things and see opportunities and problems. So that helped a lot also. Mm-hmm. And then we'd also play sports, basketball. So through basketball, I learned something always called pivot and adjust. So when adversity hits, you know, try to pivot, you know, like, so basketball teaches you those moves.
And
so,
adjust.
Yeah, and adjust. Pivot and adjust, I would call it. Yeah. So later on, course, I think it's also relevant to the story. Mm-hmm. In the process, then my job also, I would lose my salary. So.
Aww.
So again, you have to pivot, adjust, which then came for me coming back and having to start a new sort of career.
Yeah, yeah.
On its own. So the process just keeps going. It keeps going, but we keep squeezing the lemonade, like you said. So. That was Wuhan for me at that moment now.
Mm.
And then there's the post, obviously COVID, when lockdowns were lifted a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we deal with a different type of animal now. This is now where everybody's prejudicial. You come in a train, and then as international students, you'd notice, because just like anywhere else in the world, you know, you find good people, bad people. You find open-minded people, close-minded people. So sometimes you find situations where, you know, people are prejudicial, thinking, you come, they put a mask up. So, but again, we learn something from perspective. Just with friends, we say, KK, why do we feel offended when they put the mask up? Whereas we should actually feel happy because it gives us the opportunity to put our mask down, because we know we didn't bring the virus. So, you know, those sort of perfect things, you know, tricks, you learn to survive in those sort of, you know, international environments and, you know, this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that was really it.
The thought of being outside, you know, your comfort zone in such a situation, I don't want to think about it. And another thing is that, honestly, when you do travel, you meet different people who have different mindset, different lifestyle, different culture. And somehow you adapt also their positivity rubs off on you. And so you become more stronger, resilient as well. So, which is a good thing. It is a good thing. Eventually now you're done with your postgraduate. How many years?
It was two and a half, something like that, yeah. Because of the virus, studies were sort of extended. And this is what also caused my leave complication. And then I had to leave everything and say, but I have to complete my degree. Doesn't matter what, you know, we lost the parents' jobs and blah, blah, blah. I said, no, let me come at least for the paperback. Exactly. So I left it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I finished that. I came back home now. Also, now money has been depleted because we have, you know, little investment property back home. You're in the financial system. Mm-hmm. having started working, but now everything is cut.
Yeah.
So what do you do? So, with that, the bit, you try to close here and there, mortgage and what. Now you're also saying, I need to get something to do. The money is going straight to come back. It's over 40,000, 50,000 a ticket. So yeah. So
even now?
It was just at that time because it was
of COVID.
Yeah, those COVID things and so on.
It was about
that. Yeah, it was really around that. Yeah, it was crazy. So a lot of things just going that, you know, that direction. But then I was also on the side there then trying to sell Brazilian hair, just deploying the cousins, the girls here, you know. Take years, because now you're surviving just for the small income. You're not getting fixed income, and it's the first time in a long time where I wanted to test myself and say, okay, let me not be a statistic when I come back. Let me see this thing. How long does it take for one to become employed when you're not employed? How long does it take for you to create your own opportunity? So for me, I love life like a movie. Like I want to test. I want to see. For me, it's comical. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that my next move, people were saying, this guy is going state house. You are moving. You are like, you know, you are sitting with the parliamentarians, flying with the president. So that was my path. So now you're coming to square one again. Yeah. Like, yo, what do you do? So this is when I got into the Shangala mode of the intellect. Use your brain. What did you acquire over the years? You got 3 law degrees. You have, you know, you want to acquire language, you want to go do this sort of stuff, this and that, you need. So create something for you. You can't just be there and say you are not employed, and if government is taking their time with you, like, you know, create things till they can find you halfway. So this is how I move. And then I started here seeing there's a gap of the Chinese, and I said, let me bridge that gap, because, you know, I have the personality for it, I have the skills for it. So I started, you know, the Hellman's Group, the lady that owned Marigold Hotel, Chinatown, those sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I assist them in a legal advisory capacity and assisting with the HR. So you do those sort of stuff until other law firms pick up. No, this guy is always involved. So when I get back, I got involved. That's what I did. First thing, I got involved. Every way, I'm just Rotary Club. I'm this board. There's even my someone who asked me, no, every day you're just getting appointed to these free boards. And I said, no, you keep doing something. Even if it's voluntary, just do something, you'll be recognized. So that has been also one of my strategies I employed to survive, to say, no, you need to. And what the social media now coming to leveraging, because now I need, like, I have people who come and record me as I move, because I say nobody else will hype you up. Nobody will market you. Nobody will, because I learned that through all these processes. They don't care. Nobody cares. You have to just position yourself, do your thing, don't care about nothing. So, I came with an unorthodox approach like that. But then people pick up. People are like, you pick up, you know. So that's what I've done effectively.
Yeah. In other words, you're your biggest cheerleader.
Yeah, I know.
You need to show up for yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
Quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, obviously, you had an advantage because you have the law knowledge of side, and then you sort of like have the entrepreneurship running through your blood. I mean, you're selling cow to pay school fees or to pay university fees. So survival mode is something that you came with from home already. Interesting.
No, I like the way you package things, but it actually makes me say, oh, okay, so that's that.
For me, I always trace, this is what I've learned for all the interviews that I've done. I've come to realize that for somebody to be a president now, there's something within that person's story that always kind of showed that she's going to be a president at one point.
Yeah.
For somebody to be a lawyer, there must always be that, you know, there's always a connection to where we are now, connection to where we are and where we're coming from.
Yeah.
There should be something linking. Yeah. I've completely come to believe
it. And I agree, because it also comes back. It's one of those things also you get your superpowers from, especially being internationally there. So you go like, oh, what would I do? My uncles, what would they say this time? Because one of my uncles who passed on also told me one thing. Those first days they were checking up on me. Say, no, KK, the good thing about you, you have heart. So he let me, I said, I have heart. So whenever I'm in situations, I say, no, let the heart speak now. Let's fight now. You have that heart to help you fight all these adversities and obstacles and so on.
You see? You see now?
Yeah.
That's exactly what we need. We need resilience. You know, when tough situations actually come our way, I've come to realize you need to toughen up. And you speak right about pervert and adjust. Pervert and adjust.
Yeah, pervert and adjust, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, because you'd see... Imagine my career.
Pervert 10, right?
Yeah. Like a pivotal 10.
I get it.
So you'd see, for example, my career was in government mostly. My networks, my everything. So, you know, like that was my trajectory, like being in government, next chief legal officer, you know, as it goes. Now, I have to come start from a private sector now. So it's a new thing, but then, so you have to now make yourself marketable and, you know, useful and so on. So that's where now other skills come in, which is now your personal attitude towards things and how you market yourself, how you do this, how you do that, because it's just not about your qualifications, you know, those things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a, I think we'll talk about that when we come back from a commercial break. We'll talk about marketing. You know, I think a lot of people may have the degrees, may have the knowledge and the skills, but the market is an issue. How to market themselves is something that they really struggle with, which is very, very important. Yeah. And marketing yourself also means the way you present yourself at an interview. You're marketing yourself. And then you find somebody is scared of the panel. Mm. You're like, they have blood flowing in their veins just as you are. I mean, they're just people. So if you don't get this one, you get the next one. But then I think if you sell yourself in a manner where you're very confident, then you make it.
100%.
Yeah.
And it comes from, you know, showing up. You learn those sort of stuff. Because you see me today, I came in, perhaps not my best suits, but it's something respectable.
Yeah,
because I've always been the guy who would volunteer. Good morning, Namibia, at work. People are scared to go. Ah, who is to go? No, let me go. Till I become better at it. Because I'm like, okay, at some point I need to face cameras, face things.
Yes.
And, you know, so you start doing, and I believe in showing up. And with the marketing, a lot of people, you know, we are concerned. We come from cultural backgrounds where, you know, you are not so comfortable in, or you are superstitious, or you have this, and rightfully so, perhaps. But for me, I decided to ignore that at least because, for now, because I realize when you want to, you have to immerse yourself into a trajectory, really, and understand how those before you did it, what was their thought process. And some of us were really extremely ambitious.
Yeah,
we tried to go to the
highest point
in that regard. Yeah.
Let's pause here now, make room for a scheduled commercial break, and we'll be back. This is Life Lessons. Stay tuned.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintook beer. For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made. And for Vintook beer, it's that barley, hops, and water thing. Let's raise a Vintook beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
So I said quietly, agreed politely.
Welcome back to Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. That is, of course, Eagle FM. I'm your host, Nafa Happy Juju, and joining me in studio, if you're just joining us now, is KK. Now, KK, let's talk about marketing. You speak about, we left off talking about, you know, being your biggest cheerleader and, of course, getting things done by yourself, not waiting for other people to necessarily do it. But let's talk about marketing and importance of marketing. And I want to believe that every one of us need to have the skill of marketing if we're going to go far in life, especially in business, school, wherever, even CV-wise, not CV-wise, but interview-wise. Marketing plays a very significant role if we want to make it out there, especially in this era. Now, talk to us about the importance of marketing and how you actually seize every moment to market yourself.
Okay. No, that is great. Great question. Because everything, I believe, goes to marketing. And people should understand marketing is just not like lifting something and saying, please buy this. No, it goes where the psychology aspects to it, psychological aspects to it. There's a lot of many directions you can sort of employ it. So with marketing, the importance of it is that many people, we assume that people know what you're selling. Yeah, we have that thing where we assume. Someone can even tell you that, oh, KK, why are you playing? You telling me you don't know that I sell Macondos, for example.
Yeah.
No, really, I don't know. But I post now and then, one little post there. I don't know what is that post. Not everybody pays attention that much into your thing. So make it visible to them. So with marketing in any business is you are reminding the people why they need your product, what is it, what story are you telling? So for me, for example, marketing, I've used it also in my legal career because I've understood the importance of social media and marketing because you need to remind people. People forget, so
leveraging social media, that's where it comes in now.
100%, yeah, the legalpreneur. So it's like you have the legal skills, but how do you sell it? Because everything goes to sales and marketing in anything. You sell yourself. That's why I'm able to be here today and speak on China. I'm not the ambassador, but many people approach me for China things. And, you know, because I've positioned myself. I call it positioning, you know.
Who knows? You could be the ambassador.
Thank you, Wande, maybe. Yeah, but it's just because of this. My ability to market, my ability to embrace a thing and tell a story around it. It's also part of marketing. So marketing comes in different ways. Yeah, sometimes it's through storytelling. I tell my story and then many people form part of my networks as a result of that because I come authentic and I'm telling a story and I'm selling the story.
I agree with you 100%. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Do you know what pulled me to actually reach out to you to be my guest on radio?
Tell me, please.
Yeah, I need to tell you what actually pulled me. Pulled me to invite you to be my guest on radio.
Love to hear that.
What you put up on your status the other time. Yeah, talking about China and no, I can't remember exactly what, but it was so interesting. I was like, you need to be a guest on radio. You know, you need to be my guest on Life Lessons. Yeah. And that's exactly. And today when I was actually thinking about it, I'm telling myself, you know, we need to turn our WhatsApp status into sort of like a platform to market ourselves.
Yeah.
Look at what you did now, like what you did there, you know, and that already, the content that you put up. And you get those people that put up, I don't want to say the word, but let me just say it, rubbish content.
Yeah. Right?
You're not marketing yourself like you're using. Yeah. Somebody else is using exactly their WhatsApp status to market themselves. And you are like at the same position when you have the same opportunity.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you totally get it. You totally get it. Because, of course, I get criticized a lot. Even my friend Carl always couldn't understand why I can't keep it private. I can't keep it what. Of course, I battle with those things. Sometimes I can be a bit oversharing, but at the same time, the trade-off is that, you know, I'm at least selling a message. I'm selling some substance.
Selling a product, a service. Yeah,
a service, something, a story that could be also, you know. So that's what keeps me saying, no, let me just pretend what I'm doing here works. There's a reason people invented these social media things, there's a reason they speak on marketing, there's a reason they do this. And those people who are successful, they do things this certain, a certain way, this way. So let me do it. So, because when you come back, you know, we home here, it's, you know, developing countries, you know, with fragmented societies, cultural influence, traditions. So I've always been a reader of Robert Kiyosaki. Okay. You know, when you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you know, that has been the foundation of me coming into understanding entrepreneurship as a gateway to wealth creation. Because where we come from poverty, and the idea was always to fight poverty, you know, like and get to the next level. So that has always been at the core of my movement. And then with the legal, and then entrepreneurship, legalpreneurship. So in
legalpreneurship.
Yeah, so I coined it, legalpreneurship, because I used the legal skills at a time where I needed to survive in an entrepreneurial way. Selling it, marketing it. I'm telling you, I am the best. You should come to me in a way. Why should the Chinese come work with me? Because I have the ability to communicate, to bridge a gap, to befriend a Chinese, to eat their food, to stay in their country, to face adversity and then come back home again and then do the same thing, still be involved in community development, you know, inspire. So that sort of movement, that's what has positioned me. And I use social media to tell my story. And then people will say, no, why shouldn't I work with a guy who has shown us he can flip this thing? And he sees,
And I think for those who keep their WhatsApp status or their social media, they're on social media, but they're just there to scroll on other checkers, you know, but not actually use it for their advantage. Yeah. Maybe they learn a thing or two today.
I don't know. They are playing social media. Check out on Gary V. He speaks on social media. This guy who used to produce wine, and then he would just social media guys use it. He's big on it. Go to LinkedIn, go to what, use it, employ it. Because for me, I got criticized also a bit to say, no, as a professional, why don't you use sort of LinkedIn? But at the time I was job hunting, for me, I couldn't wait on LinkedIn. So I use wherever visuals, pictures. So I believe in pictures. I believe they are currency. So because, you know, a lot of people, when you're traveling, they would say like, oh, you want another picture again? No, that is currency. 5 years from now, it will make sense. Like right now, I can post things from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, before it was popular to post. And I can tell a story at that time already, because I knew at the time people will get to a point where everybody starts posting. Everybody starts talking about it. Now it has become popular, but we started 2010. I started writing those paragraphs those years ago, always trying to make sense of things. So,
Interesting. Yeah. Let's get also deeper into legalpreneurship. But legalpreneurship, I'm thinking it's a term also for those who have legal background and venturing into entrepreneurship. But then also I wanted to say something. Anybody can go to China, right? And probably do their postgraduate like you did, right? And they'll still come back and continue with their 8-to-5 job and maybe get a few boxes on their salary. And that's it. And they die, go to their grave with that, with those skills. But not everyone will actually want to leverage every opportunity.
Yeah.
Not everyone will want to come back and say, you know what? Let me make the most of it. Let me bridge the gap between the Chinese and the Namibians and stuff like that. You see?
Yeah.
So
no, that kind of thinking can be also very dangerous. That's why you should know how to be it and how to do it. Because, you know, for some people, like, for example, some of us, why we couldn't really perhaps be longer in government, so to speak, if you go into the political understanding of things, it's like, you know, we are two free thinkers, you know, you coming with innovation language, you're trying to do this and this, coming, implement this, bridging gaps, doing this, talking these words. So sometimes people are also like, whoa, this one is moving too fast, you know, so they sort of those, you should know how to be strategic. I think that's also one of the things. In hindsight, I said, okay, perhaps sometimes be a bit more strategic also, be a bit more understanding that you're working in an environment where that pulls in different directions. So always be strategic. And, but at the same time, don't be afraid to live in your truth, because if you live in your truth and you do what's genuine, help will find you on the way. The right people will find you on the way. So just keep moving. I used to call my movement like the Chinese bullet train. It's just moving, because you come to someone, you say, no, uncle, please assist. I'm here. I'm having a movement. Nobody's listening. Come, you're screaming here. Please, guys, I went to every conference. You come to people. So you like, but I always hate this and say, no, if you're not listening, I'm moving. It's a train. If you're not hopping in, I'm moving. It's going. So later they wake up and like, oh, this guy. So it's too late.
In other words, don't spend too much time at places where they're not opening the door.
Yeah.
Move on to the next thing.
Mm. 100% you get it.
Quite interesting, hey? If honestly, the skills we were talking about right now, I've come to realize if one actually takes them and applies them, they actually do work. They work for third person. Of course, they might not yield immediate results, but with time and with consistency, you know, like you talk about also. With consistency, if you continue to improve yourself, continue to knock onto the next person.
And to use what you have, for example, linking the marketing like in real practice, because I believe in academia, like on a real practical level. For example, I had, you know, when I was coming back again, the 40,000 flight, you don't have so much money to bring your clothes and what. So I took a few books to strategic outfits, which would be my China, Mao Zedong type of outfit, because I knew immediately when I come here, I'm just being in the Chinese communities. I'm being at the conferences with his government and Chinese engagements. I'm being where. So what I did, I would repeat those outfits at every big conference, everything that I'm around there. So this tall guy is like a walking billboard wearing China. So, so it stays in your head. That's the marketing aspect. This is this guy, China. So later on now I'm visible. It's late. So that's how, you know, you move.
Interesting.
Yeah. So okay. People have to want to work, come to you. What sets you apart? Yeah.
Why you?
Yeah.
Why your service? Why your product?
So you show them you relate. You hear, you talk, you know, so.
Yeah. I think the Chinese have injected you with business blood.
Yeah. No, I say that, which is very true, because as soon as you get there, you start realizing.
Everything is business.
Yeah, it's business. How is it that China has developed? And also because this one day I was at a shop. You know, we spend maybe with my friends there in total 35,000 in our money, you'd think. So I realized later, I said, in 10 minutes, this guy who barely speaks English, this kid, we left 35,000 and that's just us as a group of friends. And he doesn't speak English. Back home, we are concerned about English. We are concerned about how you pronounce words, how you do what. You know, I've noticed here back home, you know, it's a highly politicized society. We don't think entrepreneurship, innovation. Do you understand? So, courses, politics, that's why, you know, I don't read newspapers really. I should be reading. It's a secret between us. Yeah, like, I should be reading, but I don't really because of the, you know, when you, So China really automatically inspires that in you. When you come and say, this is how the world works. It's about value, trade, selling, taking. So, really China, I learned a lot in that regard.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, let's talk about China per se. I mean, China is an industrialized country. And I think any African country that wants to thrive should learn from China. I'm not going to shy away from saying that. Should definitely leverage the opportunity of learning from the Chinese. They've got a lot of wisdom and knowledge that we can learn from. Talk about how they even train up their children. While we were busy in class being taught this is the grasshopper, the abdomen, the head. That was useless information that I can't make right now. They are busy teaching their kids to make toys. And you know, sometimes some of the things I've come to notice that some of the things we some of those simple ones, so simple toys, were things that were made by kids. So
certainly,
how do you think perhaps Namibia, education wise and not let me not limit it to education, could now use the opportunity to really leverage the opportunity from learning from China and sort of like adopting it?
I think China really has made great investments in terms of the One Belt and Road Initiative, in terms of linking and availing funds for training, manufacturing, especially. So we need to leverage that. We need to leverage skills like, for example, KK, again, goes to the marketing. KK is there. You know, he does this international law. He's representing multinationals at places such as Beijing, TikTok. Talking, discussing how those people say, oh, how can we can position in Africa? How can, you know, those sort of things. Pay attention when you send people to go study in the diaspora. What do they pick up? Use those skills. Don't just let the skills come
don't
there.
Don't
overlook them because they went to see. They can be a bridge. They are a link. But yeah, that is also just really by way of joking. So, like regarding myself, but I'm just saying generally, with China, we need to leverage their scholarships that they're also giving they are there, they are guests like us who are dynamic, who, and we are in those alumni groups. You see on Facebook, we can be engaged, talk, rather than looking at my long status paragraph, say, this guy writes long, rather say, KK, can you assist us in this regard? Are you able to maybe facilitate the scholarship for my child? Or can you do this? Or maybe one, can you tell me just even if it's 2-3 sentences?
How do I go about it?
So people, our communities need to come to that sort of mindset. Let's work together. We need to not work in silos, you know. Yeah. So I think once we have that mindset, an innovation will take care of itself. Let's get the mindset right. Mm-hmm. Understand what we can get from manufacturing, invest in our manufacturing base, and invest in entrepreneurship as well. Because one of the things I also kept myself busy was SMEs Compete. They are the one actually who got me on BIPA, like nominated me to represent.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was also representing. Like I said, I'm sort of everywhere. Yeah, those heads. Yeah, but that is also part of now using skills at its core in academia, knowing, being practical. So
I like that. I appreciate that. Making use of the opportunity, you know, when opportunity is presented to you, make use of it.
Never say no. Like even today, like, you know, I was supposed to, I said I'm on sick leave, not moving anywhere this week. I just took a mental break. But here's, it's Saturday. I'm like, you know, it's an opportunity. You invite me to a day. I'll come to it. I'll show up. Yeah, the ability to show up. I see many people don't show up. So that's one thing I've seen. Because we have cousins, it doesn't feel good. Why we talk like this is because we have family members. Sometimes, you know, they want to tap into your pocket. But sometimes you're like, no, let me teach you how to fish, rather. So when we talk these things, they say, you want to preach again. You want to talk this. But you're like, it's the only sustainable way. Like, because life happens first.
You get somewhere far ahead of you actually thought you would. Interesting.
So, yeah.
I know quite three of my family members who have been to China to do their postgraduate. Okay, the other one, I think it was his postgraduate, but he keeps going and coming back. Although he's a principal, he's currently in China. I'm not sure which city now. And then my sister also went to do a postgraduate in China. Then my cousin also went to do postgraduate in China. They're doing quite very well as it is. And you know what? I think I also want to go to China. Because, If I'm talking about, you know, other, like, what can the government do to make sure that the Namibian people, the youngsters, actually go and benefit to the skills? I mean, we've been talking about value addition, the machinery that we need, the equipment that we need. It will require somebody or some people to actually go there and see what is it that exactly that we need. You know, because I feel like you understand something better and even understand what to actually, which machineries to buy when you go there yourself. And then you're told, okay, this particular machine, knows, tints mahango into pasta, and this particular machine, you know, like
No, definitely. People should go to China because, you know, China is the greatest investment in mining actually is, isn't it, in Namibia, in Africa? With the Hoshan mine. I think China has made one of the greatest capital investments in. And so they need Namibians. They need Namibians to also understand, you know, in the bridging, their culture, like their language, if you can have. Because they have a Confucius school also at UNAM. People actually attending, you'll be surprised. You know, like, I like what the Gen Zs are doing. They're educating themselves. Yeah, like, they are picking up language skills. So, not only said and lost the way we tend to think things. Yeah, people are trying, actually.
True.
And so, with China, it's to now position yourself for the future. Just like I did now. You know, me having now invested or going for these masters in international and Chinese law has positioned me a few years down the line here where this market, you know, like the market is saturated. You know, there's no jobs, there's no whatever. But now China, there's not too many people who are specialized in that direction. So this is how you think of career opportunities. You know, you see a few years down the line, you know, COVID will come again or war could break. It's actually breaking out and things can be, it can
hopefully
be disturbed.
COVID doesn't come back again.
It can be displaced into another country. What will you do? Yeah, where do you start your skill base from? So people should always think in terms of tangible skills, and we should also invest in what do you call what is this? Not formal education.
TVET.
Yeah, TVET. What do you call
vocational
education?
We're talking about that. I think it was
very
on Thursday.
Important. Yeah,
TVET.
Yeah, those sort of stuff. So that's when we are getting into an engineering based sort of
technical.
Society, technical, and again manufacturing.
And actually, we were talking about that on Thursday as the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture. Yo, that name is so
No. I guess it's sports.
Yeah. No, sometimes I say really just education. But yeah, so they launched the TVET calendar year. In other words, you know, the ministry, not just the ministry, education itself, the sector is really picking up on understanding that TVET is very important.
Mm.
And I engaged a particular college founder of a TVET, and he says, everything that you touch pass through TVET, which is so true.
True, and
really, China is that.
Because China people don't understand. In China, you find a city within a city. Like, you find London built within a street in Wuhan, like looking exactly like that. There's another city that looked like Greece. You look at places just constructed, like it's a hidden jewel. What you see or what you think you saw of China, like just times a thousand, it's another world.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the creations, the innovation.
Yeah.
Even a city like Wuhan, never heard of, but when you see now when they open to the world, it's like, wow, 11 million people develop different every day. So now imagine the Beijing.
Mm.
In the Guangzhou, Shenzhen, you know, those sort of stuff. So
you mentioned one name earlier, a Chinese city.
Guangzhou.
No.
Shenzhen. Xi'an.
It sounds. It doesn't sound Chinese. It sounds more like.
Or could it be Beijing? No. That's Chinese.
Not now. You mentioned it earlier. Like, I think it starts with an S.
I think I might have said Xi'an.
It's definitely not that one.
Okay.
But then it the name sounds so different, like it's not in China.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to know what probably is it more, is it to give you a feeling like as if you're in China, but then you kind of like have a feeling like you are in Dubai.
Yeah. That's what they do. Because when you go to China, the other thing, maybe to encourage again, your listeners, students who are contemplating, because people always have this thing of, is it say, should I gamble on going to China, or maybe should I just go to the UK or SA, wherever. So with China, you need to understand there are different communities as well. Big different communities. When you go there, if you want to be a hippies, rock star, punk, whatever, you know, they are that community for it. You have your African communities on their own, the English, the expats who come, those who were engineers, civil Microsoft engineers, and said, no, I don't want corporate culture anymore. I want to come, get in touch with my spiritual, whatever. Mm-hmm. So you find communities huge. It's like a whole different world. You can just decide to even literally come out of this building. In the next one, it's two different worlds, like maybe a club or whatever.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing. So you'll exist. You won't even feel like you're really in China. But of course, the majority of people are Chinese and so on and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But this great coexistence, and it's not what you think.
Yeah. Quite interesting. That's I think it's something to really. I'm actually glad you decided not to go to the West to do your postgraduate, but rather to go to the East, because you know what? Sometimes we need to challenge ourselves. You know, we always tend to do what everyone else is doing. Mm. Follow the norm, follow the trend. Mm. But then what about being unique and standing out? You know, you might just become that very person that is needed for that particular unique story or unique quality that you possess that everybody else doesn't.
100%. Because, I may have had the opportunity. I always like to say, I don't know if it would have happened or not, but to have went to Harvard. So the Harvard Kennedy Business School. So Judge Smart, Dave Smart. I'm quite familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a time he really encouraged me, because he's a patron of that school as well. He was at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when they came to Hilton for a presentation, he was really giving a good word for me. Like, no, look at KK. Look at his work, his young guy trying to So, but then I didn't quite go through with it. But when I look back, I was always regretting. I could have been a Harvard student. I could have been a Harvard student. Why wasn't I serious? But years later, the Wuhan movement and whatever, it created a whole new story on its own and a new identity on its own. So everything really happens for its own reason.
Yeah. See, interesting. And that's turning lemons into
lemonade. 100%, 100%
Yeah, quite interesting, hey?
Andre, no, you should have that mindset always.
Yeah.
Positive mindset.
Yeah. You know, however challenging a situation really is, and I pick a word that I'll carry with, always pivot.
And adjust. Yeah, it's like basketball. Adjust. Yeah.
Always pivot and adjust.
Can't stand still at one place long. No, nothing. Move.
However difficult the situation
is. You have to move. Stay moving.
And I think with in life, we tend to, linger around spilled milk for a very long time. Like there was a time in my life where I was, you know, crying over spilled milk for a very long time. Until one day I said, you know what, Happy, we can't keep crying over spilled milk. The milk is spilled now. We move.
Yeah. So for me, when it hit me, don't feel sad or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's when now my grandma died, because now that is the person, like, really, before that I never had any sense of loss, really.
Yeah.
So my little brother calls me, it's that time. Because now you heard they are in a covered hospital, blah. So they are thinking, who should call me in China now to let me know? Okay. Now the call comes. Oh, he lets me know it's over. So I just wrote on the time, the date. I say, this is the day everything changes. So what I would do, for example, I can't be here back home. I went to go wear my black and then bought flowers, went to the Yangtze River, did my ritual, like I'm praying, I throw it in there. And the next day I tried to go to a church. It was a Catholic church, but it was so weird. It was the first time, you know, a Catholic church with Chinese people. It's just, you're just looking for anything that gives you a bit of solace, you know, just, So you just walk in there, take two pictures, then it's done. Now you must move. I'll stay there.
I wonder how that is, you know?
So, you tend to do that because you tend to develop the mindset like it's war. Like, I saw it as war. So that's when you go in history studying, like, what do people do in such, it's extraordinary.
So we have Christians in China, obviously. I mean, there must be.
Scary. Yeah. But it's not the biggest. Buddhism and even Muslim. Islam.
Yeah. Okay.
They're actually the majority thing. But Christianity is also there present.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the Chinese people as well.
Like themselves. Chinese people as well. Okay. Yeah, Chinese are quite diverse. You know, like
they are.
Yeah, if we hear people there are how many billions in the world, you need to think that it's a different representation of people. Even their dialects is more than 50 different ones in Chinese, Mandarin, and so on. So you look, it's diverse. You'd notice, you'd find Mongolian, Upper Mongolian there, like they look even different in Asia there. So. Yeah, what we know about China and the Chinese, it's just not one. It's so multi-dimensional, diverse culture.
What that particular thing that you've identified that they do so well in China? Of course, I know we have a certain things that they can also learn from. But what's that particular thing that you have identified that you think Namibia could perhaps adopt?
Okay. A bit perhaps from a political stance, I would say, their governing regime system, it works. You would notice a democracy versus
theirs? Ours is democracy.
Yeah, ours is democracy.
Theirs is monologue. I don't know. Let me not.
Yeah. No. It's not quite. Yeah, it's communism, but let me just say, the communism, leadership strike. Yeah. That leadership style, you see how it affects development as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you pick up, for example, in a democratic state, when the COVID was spreading, it was hard to contain the people. These are just things I picked up from myself. Like, you know, in the USA, you would see in SA, Namibia, it was quite hard in democratic countries to enforce law, because it's a democratic country. Things have to be debated, parliament and so on. Whereas there, it's top down. Instruction is given. Lockdowns today, now. Finish lockdown, so you can progress faster in such a society where you don't have to go through red tapes, these bureaucracies in implementation of things. So that is also one way we can look at. Of course, the other things, it's always the work ethic, the culture. I've seen in those countries, culture plays a role in how they work together. How to be compliant, because the consideration, respect for each other, being this, you know, like. So they speak one language, so to speak. Here we are such a small nation, but so politicized, so each one
so
different,
diverse
in views. It can be good, it can be good also at times, you know, for development.
So critical too.
So, yeah, that is one we can check. Other than that, of course, it's just to see how they do business, how they think, and their work ethic. Very important. Look at their work ethic and what is it they, why do they do what they do? So those are the questions actually when we went there. You first start asking yourself as any student, why am I here? What is here? What am I learning from the Chinese here? It's not just about your school books and whatever. No, why you got the opportunity to go to China? People don't get such opportunities. So what are you learning? Why don't you learn the language? Why don't you learn the food? Why don't you, you see, because you see two types of students. Like we go there within the first 3 months. I was already in Guangzhou. I was in Xi'an. I was one. Then you find someone who stayed till the lockdowns and a year later, they have never moved out of campus. So how would someone like that be able to tell a story how China is, how this? So you have to take risks a bit here and there.
True.
Yeah, and be outside your comfort zone because time will move fast when you go to China because it's so big. To go shopping, even just outside, you think you're going for 1 hour, then the whole day is gone. Just thinking you're going here. So everything will distract you. So you be focused. Yeah.
You need to stay focused because it's so much that is appealing to the eye.
Yeah, 100%.
Interesting, man. I mean, yeah, it's always nice when you take advantage of every opportunity that's given to you. And I think that's the takeaway lesson for any student who's going to go study, whether it's to do their master's or they're going to do their undergraduate, whatever. Take advantage of that opportunity. You know?
Yeah.
And I think fear, we also need to overcome fear, especially for somebody who's traveling. You really have to overcome fear. Like, you have to really take the risk.
And another thing I'll say for Namibians, especially in the diaspora, like, learn a culture of collaboration, coming together, because I've seen one of the countries lacking a bit in that. When I went there, at least, you know, since I have a bit of, you know, this governance history, politics a bit, law or professional rather, I was trying to have the movement say, let's come together, let's do this, let's have these days where we celebrate independence together, let's have this word. It was a bit slow there, you know, in a sense. So you said cultural festival, I tried to have one where I knew like this is the biggest in Wuhan, attracting how many millions. So me and another guy, we just tried to put things together. And but it would have been nice to be like the other countries. You see, they come like the whole, people are happy, like the Nigerians make their dances, jollof food and so on. So Namibians, because we realized only during the COVID, that's what brought us together. Really now, that's when we are learning of each other. Oh, who's where, who's where, who's why, blah, blah. But it shouldn't be the case. When you go there already, let's have this national pride
and unity.
It helps in the diaspora. Yeah,
and also you're able to speak your home language with somebody.
I mean,
it's very rare.
On
the other side, you know, I recently traveled with my friend in December and she was getting me to a point where like, let's speak our language, you know. She would deliberate it and I was answering in English. She's like, no, why are you answering in English? Well, why are you letting them understand our language? They are speaking their language. Who knows? They probably know English, but then they choose to.
It feels good because when you are there, you look for anything closest to you because you
closest
start first.
Home.
Yeah, closest to home. You start first. Africa, Southern Africa, then you find someone from Botswana, whatever you say, one Dumelang, one, two words, you are happy just to get the response.
Yeah. It really feels like another
Yeah, you feel
anymore.
Like, hey, and they look at you, wow.
It's a whole big deal.
Yeah.
I think we should pause here for a commercial break and then we'll be back. But anyway, you know what? It's okay. Let's continue for a moment and then we'll actually cross over because, But you know, KK, in terms of perhaps legal wise, what do you think perhaps, okay, you're not really practicing right now as a lawyer, right?
I'm more in companies and contracts and things like that for these companies. And so.
When you're practicing, how long did you actually stay in the field of practicing as a lawyer?
No, I was never practicing.
I almost said it because
this
is a whole business person.
Yeah, you see, that's my bias. Yeah, I tend to go.
I almost said, did you ever even practice?
Yeah. No, I was I was with the government attorney, so it's a candidate legal practitioner, following, shadowing, blah blah blah. But yeah, but in future, of course, I should open a law firm maybe in the next few years. Yeah, that sort of thing because of the networks, and I'm in private now, so I might as well just. But for now we're getting experience outside things. By the time you really start practicing, everything is just
You know, that boils us to a particular angle, particular topic, so to say. Yes, we go to university and acquire certain skills and a certain degree. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we should limit ourselves to say, just because I'm a lawyer, I must go into exactly the field of practicing as a law, as a lawyer, you know? I think it brings us to that. And yeah. You are literally living that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think at this point, I want to say, but before I do ask that question, let me ask it after the commercial break.
Okay.
Let's see.
Yeah, because it's quite a nice one.
Yeah. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be back shortly. This is Life Lessons.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudini.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintook Beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintook Beer, it's that barley, hops, and water thing. Let's raise a Vintook Beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Tukwetira o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ujendi fenawa, nukumona oija mwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile ko berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Some days don't look the way I planned. I'm holding more than I can stand. I replay words I wish I said. I wonder how I got here instead. I've learned how heavy silence feels when you're trying hard just to heal. But even now I'm still here, and it has to mean something real. I don't need to know what comes next. I don't need to pass some kind of test. If all I do is breathe tonight, that's still movement, that's still life. I'm not giving up, even when I'm worn thin. I'm not giving up, even when I'm questioning. I don't have to see the whole way. I don't have to feel okay. I'm still standing, I'm still here, I'm not giving up. Some wounds don't show on the skin. Some battles live deep within. I smile like I'm okay today, just finding my way through the gray. I've bent, I've broken, I've stayed. I've taken this road my own way. And every step I didn't quit still counts. I'm choosing this. I don't need to rush the pain. I don't need to
explain why it still hurts, why it still stays. I'm allowed to move this way.
And of course, we are back. This is Life Lessons. We're continuing with a beautiful conversation. Now, KK, I did notice something, right? You're the tallest guest I've ever had. Like, okay. Yeah, like tallest.
Okay, we break records every day. Hey?
Yeah, and then you break a world record holder.
Yeah, Eagle FM, put my name in the books.
Yeah, the most tallest guy ever on Life Lessons. You need to sign somewhere there. Now, hold on. I wanna know. This your height, yeah. How has it played a role, especially when you're young, or like, is it always? Wait, did you ever any time maybe feel intimidated because you're the tallest guy, or did you actually boost your confidence to be to feel like you're the biggest guy in the room?
Wow, interesting. Yeah, no, the only time where the confidence is boosted is when someone asks you to, they use you to go fetch something up there. The kitchen rack,
maybe I can't reach,
or in the shop, upper shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but, no, being tall because now I'm 2 meters tall. Yeah, 2 meters tall because, you know, especially in China, they would say, Tai Gaola, like very tall, you know, like something like that. Yeah. So you have to, Liamien, you tell them two meters.
Oh.
Yeah. So they played a role on its own because they would associate you to LeBron James, they like basketball, Kobe Bryant, because you see it's a hip-hopish type of down pop a bit, you know, so the kids, the Chinese, new China, you'd see, they're all a bit more out there, being funky, being whatever. So when you'd see me, they want pictures. So there I was like I was a celebrity there. Sometimes when I got back here, I remember Prof. Shama Shivikwa telling me, I got on the phone with him because he's also one of the people who are keeping me busy, that site, during the COVID, just updating him what's going on and so on. So when I came back, he said, just don't be a celebrity at home. Yeah. So later on, I realized why he said that, because in China, pictures, people want to do this. Wow. You get back home here. You're just following normal person. Sorry.
And you're like, no man,
I'm not going back. Exactly. People love me. Anyways. Yeah. So definitely my height now started making, playing sense. I was a bit insecure over the years growing up because it was those being teased by kids, lung derum and what, skinny and so on.
Yeah.
But yeah, now with the basketball movement and now it's fine. Now it's okay. So it helps actually because it's a friend of mine who said using everything to your advantage. So I actually use it actually for meetings, negotiation. I think my body structure has helped me navigate some of the rooms. Yeah. I remember with the late Hage Geingob, you know, like president, we go to his office. So the first thing he want to see, oh, who's his dog? Yeah, oh, how tall are you? You're the only person taller than me. Then, yeah, then you go, no, I get your basketball contract in New York, remind me. You know, so that you have those, you connect faster with these guys,
exactly.
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
So you use it anyways, those, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you been serious with your basketball career though?
I only wanted to get serious when I got to China, but now the years are going. You know, 30s, you are like, oh, I could have done this earlier. So a lot of things you wanted to rewind when you are there because like, you have an opportunity to, like, wow, it's just my environment, but people do things, people play sports, people, what, where we come from here, we tend to get old very fast because each one is just telling, ah, I guess an auntie, what, and this, or this, that. Whereas there, it's more like, no. 50 people are 60 year olds, they are dancing in the street, exercising, like it's a whole thing. So when I was there, I really wanted to redeem the time. I called it that sort of journey, redeeming time in every way, intellectually, academically, spiritually, you know, like just to say catch up and, you know, start playing internationally now. So China inspired that in me to say, but listen, I can have the same mental capacity as a kid who's in Shenzhen, in New York, in what? So it exposed that to me. Even if I come from Africa or Namibia or even, you know, so this is where I always said international. I'm international. I just use that word. So those things, when I say them, it's not because I'm bragging or anything. Yeah, it's strategies. It's survival strategies, you know, like to position yourself. Because when you're playing internationally, you have to, unfortunately, play the game at that level. So, and why not? I use that. I use my advantage at home to say, okay, I still have parents. They are not really dependent on me in this. And I can take risks. Let me take the risk. I don't have a family yet. Let me take the risk. I fail. I come back. I try new things. Yeah. But yeah, let's at least break this generational thing of not thinking we can achieve and be our greatest.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's interesting. Are your siblings also as tall? Or you are the tallest among them?
The other ones are actually quite bigger.
Bigger, tall, and big.
Yeah, okay. They are tall and big, especially the last one. Is like, he's the youngest, but he's 21. So tall, he's taller than I am. Can you believe it?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, do you know that? Sorry, speaking of tallness, this is, I might send you a picture later. Yeah. There's a Chinese taller than I am. Actually, quite a few. So last one, when you go to China, you get surprised.
Oh.
Yeah, one of the disadvantages of being me in China, let me share also, I couldn't find clothes at the beginning here because I don't know how to order online. So at the shops, public transportation, I'm too tall. So,
are you kidding?
Yeah, you're not fitting because everything is made on the outside, the doors, the whatever. So I have to bend down, I have to do this. So you are clear, you are an anomaly. You're out of place when you are there.
Yeah,
because there are not so many, but they are opening up the infrastructure and things to the world. But they've never, some places in China, they've never seen people of our color coming from foreigners in, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you think Namibia is more accommodative for the tall people?
Yeah. I don't know. Here we are home. I've seen Americans are also tall. I've seen it at their airports in New York. Yeah, those are tall. You find in South Africa, Nigerians. Namibian here, but South African, I haven't found so much to that. When I travel the world, I try to look at those sort of stuff. Yeah.
And how does that feel? Like getting an environment and you see five tall guys, like almost your height, and you're like, I feel you.
No, it's intimidating. You know, when I was in China, there was actually the military Olympics. So there are different basketball teams that came there. So that's when I saw tall people, you know, like, so it feels intimidating. I don't, you know, tall people don't like really standing next to each other like that, you know?
See.
Yeah, because you're like, yo, what?
Yeah.
This is tall. Yeah. And the short people I've noticed in Scotland, they are short as well. There, I got a lot of attention as well because I was in Dundee for a friend's graduation, Scotland. So there, during the whole day, like it was during a time where it's just day. It's not getting dark. You know, it's one of those places in the world. Like, yeah, so it was an experience. So you are seeing people. It's bright daylight outside, but people are, you know, tipsy, walking funny, whatever. So you're wondering why people drank during the day so early, but it's actually nighttime. Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah. So they,
in Scotland.
Yeah. So they also, they showed me quite some attention in terms of, because when I travel, I have these sort of heads. So, and I'm tall, so it sort of have an attraction. Do you play basketball? Do you? So like you say, I'm from New York. Yeah, I play for the Lakers. So those are
they believe you.
Yeah. So one thing also, invest.
You can have your signature. Yeah.
No, things happen. Like, you think I'm a celebrity. If I have to really show you, like, I'm like, huh? Like, wow, where are you from?
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so I try to have fun when I travel. I try to learn more from the environments like that, these interactions with people.
Yeah.
So that is actually an investment one should make in their education. Like, see the journey as broad, holistic. Yeah. Learn from people, learn from the cultures, eat the food. Mm. Yeah.
Eat the food. Eh?
Eat the food. Because people, you go, how do you go to China and then you want to eat what you eat at home here? So why are you there?
That's my problem.
Yeah. No, go eat, try new things. You know, many people don't want to try things.
I'll remember that when I go to China.
Yeah. Please go try. Start there. Say baozi.
Yeah.
Yeah, dumplings, you know. Yeah, jiaozi. You order those sort of stuff. Start the basics.
Yeah.
Because once you open the barrier, it becomes easier. At first, I was also just eating like Burger Kings, but it's expensive. Your student budget later. You know?
Exactly.
So later when you come and get into the culture, because now you get rid of the prejudice and you become one. You make friends with them. So the food becomes easier to eat. It becomes normal. Then later on, you start even having favor. You don't want to eat anything else but Chinese food.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. What a lifestyle. Beautiful, interesting. You inspire me.
Thank you.
No, sincerely.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. But overall, I think since you've come to the conclusion of our beautiful conversation, what message do you want listeners to take home? I know we've touched on a lot of things, but either one or two particular message that you'd really want our listeners to take home?
I would say, try to think of success as a set of principles that need to be followed to achieve that. You know, have a science-based approach to life or economic-based. See things as every action as an opposite and equal reaction.
Okay.
So let it guide you in whether you're navigating, you know, personal traumas, problems, career decisions. You know, just try to always keep a positive mindset, have humor. And, you know, today we're in a fortunate world where things can be researched, AI. We have, you know, at the press of your fingertips, communicate. Just get the basics right. Don't think of, I want to get my what, distinction, my law, my, you know, don't think too much like that if your situation does not allow for that or it's a bit constrained.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. With what you have, where you are, create. Just move, keep moving. In Herero, we say, share to somebody. Like, your feet, stay on your feet, always move. And things will always find you. Because I try to share these stories because I don't want people to go in a depression. I've seen what depression does. It steals from people. And sometimes people lose themselves, you know, in these processes. That's why we align to these boards, like the mental health boards and whatever, to try to use our experiences to, so others do not fall in the same pitfall. So basically that. And then, yeah, please watch The Gap. Again, going to the marketing. Yeah, a Chinese desk, I'll be developing it, a lot of things. If you have questions, as time goes, I'm sure it won't be my last time coming here.
Yeah.
We'll roll out more of these sort of opportunities. And we're happy to assist and push students and to go to China and these sort of things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's my word for you guys. And all the best with everybody in their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, let's always strive for the best.
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
KK, it's been a pleasure really engaging you and learning from your story, and of course, getting the lessons that we need to get right here. You fulfilled the mandate for life lessons. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, actually. It's given me a sense of purpose.
Yeah. Né?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. It's a pleasure so much. Now, of course, with that being said, we have now come to the conclusion of our today's episode of Life Lessons. Please do stay tuned for other programs. And also, if you were interested in listening to this conversation again, head over to our podcast session. You can listen to it again. Also, tell a friend to also download the Eagle FM app and be able to listen to this conversation again. Now, from Indafa, happy as usual, it is goodbye. I'll see you again next Saturday, same time, same place. That is from 1900 hours to 2100 hours only on Eagle FM. Bye-bye.